Chapter 9. Darrow. Shit escalates. Atomic event detected on West Spindle 4. It was one of ours. Deterrent number 8. Preliminary reports suggest total structural and personnel loss. Damage indicated on second and third spindles. All power is lost in sectors 9 through 11. Sensors and comms non-responsive. Full damage report still pending. Reports the blue. Apollonius's golds and grey officers have descended to gather around their commander as he listens to the report and dispatches response teams. He is the only one smiling. A dozen greys shove Cassius down beside me in the sand. He tears off a piece of his prisoner's kit to staunch the wound beneath my left collarbone. Hold that! Darrow, hold it! He ties a bandage around my pierced calf. I hiss in pain as he does the same to a flap of skin on my left forearm. Spindle 4? What's happening? He asks. Ori?
I don't know, I manage, though I have my suspicions.
My wound stings. Not a single limb is without a slash.
He had a bite mark on his cheek.
Cassius is too stressed to hear me.
Gory damn man! He whittled you like a stick!
Bite mark. Bum.
Severo?
Only the rats know, I murmur.
What?
Cassius asks.
Hope stirs. Apollonius had Severo. Severo got loose. In the ducts. I hold on to that hope.
I have the Eritian. Asmodeus Arcarthii is on the beam.
A gold veteran calls to Apollonius and projects the hologram of Asmodeus from her datapad.
The eerie, ageless leader of House Carthii peers at Apollonius with slitted eyes.
Asmodeus, you have no doubt seen the atomic detonation, Apollonius says. I am told your ships over the pole are mobilizing. According to the terms of the détente, Atalantia guaranteed my imperium over these docks. If you attack, you defy the dictator's edict. You compromise the war effort. Do not misread my intentions. I have no desire to destroy the dockyards. The detonation was an act of sabotage.
If I were a man looking for an explanation, I might care. As it is, I am a man looking for an excuse. When I stand before the 200 and the dictator with your head, mongrel, they will not indict me. They will applaud.
Asmodeus disappears. Apollonius shrugs.
Alas, the frailty of words. Steel, be thou my tongue.
Attend me.
He lifts his arms, and his oranges look at each other, nod, and run forward with his armor.
Carthii warships are moving off the pole, a gold officer calls, and casts up a hologram for his commander. The gold veterans watch coolly as the Carthii navy abandons their position over the North Pole and streaks towards the dockyards.
What are your orders, Dominus?
Apollonius frowns, as if his oranges fitting him in his purple panoply was an obvious mission statement.
Bequeath them hell, of course.
The officer frowns at Vorkian, confirming with the arch-centurion that the order meant open fire. She nods. Apollonius waves off the hologram as a forest of light lashes out from the station's batteries toward the onrushing fleet. A throaty rumble trembles through the station as the enemy returns fire and the artillery battle begins. Nearly armored, Apollonius shouts to the legions who watch him from the stands.
Legionnaires, citizens of the dockyards, my noble friends, the dread Carthii come to drag you back under their perfidious yoke. They come in numbers many times our own. But do not quake, for I am with you. Your Minotaur will not abandon you. By my will and your hands, we took the station together. We hold it together. Summon your courage, sharpen your will. Join your brothers and sisters at your battle stations. Carry my name. Seize your glory. Go!
They chant his name and surge out of the stands to defend their stations. Vorkian's voice is flat and factual.
Dominus, we cannot stop the Carthii. They will board. They will swamp us.
We will be outnumbered, perhaps 5-1. The bluff is called and we've the low pair. We can't hold the outer crescents, much less the two axes.
They know not our true numbers, nor the quality that awaits them here, Vorkian. Let them come, let them die. Loon cannot afford to abandon me, and I grow tired of playing castellan. Let us force his hands to throw the dice.
Dominus, I recommend we cut our losses. Our ally would expect us to protect his investment.
I am his investment, and so are the ships we protect. Apollonius says. Where is your spirit, Vorkian? Moments such as these are the forge of legends. For every campaign, there is always an inciting incident. Let this be ours.
She pulls her sidearm. Then let me at least tie up your loose ends.
My baubles? Apollonius asks. Horrible, no. Darrow and I have not finished our duel. I will not let him die while I am left unsatisfied. We pump him with protein and throw him a second try. There in Thessalonica, where the thermic meets the coast, we will dance again and let his blood water my vines. I will taste him in my cup with the dirt. Yes, yes, that. A wrath red, a new vintage indeed.
He comes out of his reverie.
As for Bellona, Loon will need him for Julia. Her finances are crucial. Bring them.
Apollonius peers at his golds.
My fellows, I promised you the glory of reconquering our homeland. Mars lies through this moment. Go now to your legions. Deny the Carthii every meter of deck and any measure of mercy. Ravage them. Break them. Venus is the planet of love. What is Mars the planet of again?
They smile in silence and rush off to answer with their deeds. The hallway thunders with a storm of metal boots. Apollonius's personal legion, the same scorpion-eating, rampart-breaking madmen who stormed the Ashlord's Island with Severo and me, and then took on the dockyards themselves, jog down the hall, singing their song.
Several hundred battle-hardened greys, a few dozen obsidians, and 6 golds.
We're dragged on like pack mules, strapped with extra ammunition, fit with dilation collars and cuffs that can retract on command. The obsidians make sure we keep pace and slap our asses with the hafts of their axes.
We don't have armor, Cassius says. We'll be like peaches into a wood chipper when they hit the Carthii.
I try to remember a line from The Path to the Vale that might console us, but I've got blood crusted in my nostrils, on my legs, on my ribs. My only hope is that it is Severo who blew the other bomb and that he's got a plan. I don't. All I can do is wait for the opening and be ready.
Be ready, I say to Cassius. For what?
I don't know.
With Apollonius at the lead in his horned helmet, we're headed for the life support nexus for this part of the station, which the Carthii will no doubt try to seize with their best men.
My view is filled with the bobbing of metal shoulders and the glare of alarm lights and the glitter of hall cameras. Twice the armored column has to divert because of a bulkhead that refuses to open. Suspicious. I peer past the armed shoulders and heads when we come to an abrupt stop in a corridor 10 paces wide. The greys twitch, restless. They've already taken their battle drugs. The column bends out of sight behind us with the curve of the hall. At the fore, Apollonius bellows in impatience at Greens and his command hub. The column about-faces to retrace its steps, but the bulkhead at the rear must have closed too, because the about-face goes nowhere. Centurions shout down the line for a breaching team.
It's him, I murmur.
Vorkian shouts for silence. Up ahead, Apollonius puts his ear against the wall to listen for something. He backs away from the wall.
Leechcraft, he shouts. Search for teardrops.
The call echoes down the line behind us, out of sight. Cassius swallows. Teardrops. That's what they call the first hint of molten metal on the wrong side of a leechcraft's drill. A grey Triarius is the first to spot one. Cassius might have said something clever if he had his razor. but with his hands bound behind his back and only a prisoner jumpsuit between his body and what's about to happen, he just looks at me. Peaches. Woodchipper. The column shifts with anxiety. They're not in a good position should something go wrong. Apollonius roars for the breaching team to hurry up and clear the bulkhead, blocking us in. I search for some obvious salvation. A hatch opening, a plasma charge eating through the ceiling, some sign of Severo. Nothing. Its enemies all the way to the bulkhead in front, enemies all the way to the curve of the hall behind. The corridors were designed to trap invaders. I'd know because I studied this place with Severo for years. You don't want to be trapped in a hall like this. The breaching charges detonate against the bulkhead at the fore but fail to penetrate fully.
We're not going to clear the hallway before the Carthii hit us.
There's only one choice. Hit the borders and the teeth hard as possible. Apollonius comes to the same conclusion. Centurions bark orders and legionnaires grind into position around the breaches. The obsidian's grip on me tightens. Two more drill marks appear on the corridor's left bulkhead, halfway down the formation. Shit. Recognizing the danger the second and third breaches pose, Apollonius calls his golds to the front. They open fire on the obstructing bulkhead with their pulse fists until it glows orange. They plunge their razors in like picks and hack holes in the thick metal, but they're not faster than the leechcraft drills. Apollonius is a good enough commander to know what's about to happen to his precious personal legion. You push other legions around like blocks, but your own you use as a sacred scalpel, delicate and sharp and fast, to find the arteries of the enemy. His precious scalpel is about to be shoved into a wood chipper, along with us peaches. A great roar comes from the man as he tries once more at the door before abandoning the lost cause and pushing himself to face the nearest breach.
Stack on breaches. Divide by cohort. Rank by heavy shields, triarii, velites. Crows and peerless, stack in pods for melee. Coriolanus, front cohort. Vorkian, rear. You have the prisoners. I have center.
Phalanxes form before the breaches. A bulwark of energy shields, a hedge of glinting armor-boring spears backed by a forest of rifles. The obsidians drag us through the legionnaires to the rear. They're still manhandling us back around the curve of the hall when we pass the mouth of the last breach.
I see down its molten throat all the way to the Carthii leechcraft, where metal figures gather behind a glowing shield. A lone berserker, released before the rest, sprints down the throat toward us. In the heat-warped air, he is a mirage of terror. Naked, heavily tattooed with the eel-green ink of the Carthii gladiatorial clans, and raving mad. Vorkian stops, aims a rifle into the breach's throat, and fires a single, perfect shot. It takes the obsidian between the eyes. He falls short of the breach. Such is the heat, he catches fire. A sacrifice to the gods of death. Then the shield at the Carthii leechcraft winks out, and the metal stacked behind it begins to move. Ram lads, delirious with pharmaceutical courage, armored thick as rhinoceroses, rush down the throat with an oceanic roar. Vorkian and our obsidian handlers drag us on as the greys open fire. I twist to see a ram lad stumble out of the mouth of a breach into the hall. Bent forward like a golem trudging into a storm, he soaks up the fire, takes one last step, and collapses in a rent heap. In his wake come berserkers. This wave of genetically enhanced killing machines crashes upon the wall of stony grey veterans and turns to red foam. The second wave breaks from torpedo rounds that turn them to human pyres, but their momentum, added with that of the unnatural delirium in the beasts behind them and the Carthii tolerance for high casualties, creates a surge of mass that cannot be denied.
Expensive obsidian slave knights in cerulean armor, heavy shields, and short spears form the third wave. Trampling over the corpses of their spent brethren, they crush into the first greys and hack at the shield line as the spears of the second line impale them. With a cry nearly inaudible amongst the explosions and shrieking, Apollonius and his heavy gold infantry charge into the obsidian flanks at each breach. The corridor fills with smoke and noise and death. My eardrums ache.
Bullets hiss. Shrapnel pings off Orkin's helmet, slashes across the bridge of my nose, and peppers the armor of the obsidian handler behind me. Cassius ducks. Down the hall, the battle takes on the sound of hundreds of spoons caught in an industrial fan. Something slams into the wall next to my head and ricochets, taking a long chunk of my scalp before embedding itself in the eyehole of one of my obsidian handlers. His grip slackens. Before the second obsidian sees his fellow teeter down, I slam my shoulder into the warrior. Off balance, he stumbles into the smoke. I crouch, coughing, eyes burning. I can't see Cassius. I can't see anything but indistinct shapes and flashes through the thick smoke. I go lower to find clear air for my lungs. A hand grazes my head and, finding no hair to grab, slides off. The dilation collar tightens. I can't breathe. Blood sluices down my neck as the collar cuts into my skin. An obsidian body lies on the ground nearby. I crawl to it and grope behind my back for his boot knife. I find the blade at the price of a few cut fingers. Fumbling, choking, I saw at the dilation bindings on my wrists until they come apart. My hands are free. Wheezing, I cut through my collar and suck down air. Nauseous. Vision swimming, I stay as low as I can in the smoke and search for Cassius. I see two figures staggering in an embrace like lovers. One is Cassius, the other Vorkian. He's headbutting her repeatedly. Unfortunately for him, she wears a helmet, and all Cassius does is knock himself out. He falls down into the smoke, but he bought us enough time. Vorkian reaches for the dilation collar controller on the ground, and I lunge up through the smoke and bury the obsidian knife under her left armpit. I slam her against the wall and kick the controller away. I grab at her waist and come away with Bad Lass and Cassius's razor before she disappears in the smoke and press of bodies. I duck down as high-caliber rounds buzz overhead. Bodies fall and tangle and climb and hack. I find Cassius on the ground and cut off his bindings. His collar tightened and nearly nipped an artery. I slap his face until his eyes open. He hacks for air. Blood leaks from his ears. My hearing is shot. Everything is muffled, chaotic. Sounds come as if through water. I push his razor into his hand and signal him to stay low and follow me away from the breaches toward the closest bulkhead at the rear of Apollonius's column. Crouching, razors in hand, we set off into the smoke. Men have disintegrated into singular actions. An arm holding a razor rises and falls. A rifle flares. A helmet caves in from a powered boot. From the smoke, a gold appears and points his pulse fist at me. Before he can fire, another man stumbles back into him. Then an obsidian war spear comes through his neck. I lunge forward and rob the dying gold of his aegis. I take point, aegis up, razor straight and on its rim, Cassius stacked behind me. We push toward the bulkhead like hoplites. Identity is lost amongst the chaos, the smoke, the screams. Two greys fire at us. I take the slugs on the aegis. The greys shift their aim toward my unprotected feet. Cassius lunges over my shoulder with his razor. He spears the first grey through the eye socket and ducks back behind the shield. I take the second between the clavicle and neck with Bad Lass, then bowl him over with the shield. We push through the smoke, stabbing out from under the cover of the aegis as we go, until we're stopped by the bulkhead at the rear of the Roth formation. It's still sealed. Terrified men already hack at it with their weapons. More crush in behind us, pinning us to the bulkhead. Still more on their way, tripping, scrambling, desperate to escape the Carthii killers. My legs give out, and I swoon in the press. I lose the aegis, and my hands are so slippery with blood, I almost drop Bad Lass. Cassius throws his shoulders into men until he's able to pull me back up and shield me with his body. Down the hall comes a muffled cheer.
Carthii! Carthii!
They must have secured the breaches. According to Carthii doctrine, that means one thing. The golds will be coming. Over the crush of dented helmets and bloody greys, I see the fear in Cassius's eyes. Then the pressure releases forward as the bulkhead opens. Pushed by the mass of men behind us, we spill forward. I fall, metal heels stampede over my back. Something massive stumps toward me from the opposite direction. I look up to see the clawed feet of a star shell. The weight is swept off my back. A half dozen greys slide down the left wall, their bones broken like kindling by the sweep of the starshell's arm. The starshell towers over me. It stands alone in the corridor, its canopy and shoulders crudely reduced to fit the tight confines. Its clawed metal foot stomps down to my right, then my left, until it straddles Cassius and me like a beast protecting its cubs. The railgun in its left arm lowers, as does the giant pulse fist in its right. And from its cockpit, amplified by its external speakers, comes a blood-curdling howl. Both of my eardrums rattle as it opens fire directly above us. I shimmy out from under the mech to see the pilot through the canopy. Under a bird's nest of hair, a demonic, bearded face, black with grease, screams in the stuttered light of the starshell's deluge. Severo. I almost pass out from joy. Murderous glee shimmers in his bloodshot eyes. He shouts something at me and jerks his head to get behind him. Cassius and I don't have to be told twice. We scramble behind the starshell. Medical supplies and vacuum helmets have been taped to its back. Cassius strips them off, I slap the chassis. The starshell doesn't move. I hammer at it again and again until Severo finally takes a step back, then another. Without breaking his stream of fire, he covers our retreat back down the hall. Cassius injects my neck with a battle stim and slaps res flesh on my new wounds. The familiar, itchy energy rushes through me. I wipe my bloody hands on my tattered jumpsuit and grip Bad Lass. By the time we reach an intersection and get free of the line of fire, the starshell is spewing smoke. Severo remains within it, unwilling to stop killing. He fires back down the hall even as its right leg is shot out. At the last moment, he pops the rear hatch and escapes out the back. He's dressed in battered scarab skin. A trophy necklace of fetid ears hangs from his neck. I want to kiss him, hug him till his head pops off, but he's all business. After two quick hand signals for us to follow and keep pace, he takes off at a run. We follow.
The Carthii invasion rolls on all around us.
With my damaged ears, I feel removed from it. Battles thunder in the distance. Mechanized troopers clump down hallways. Even with the stims, it's all we can do to keep up. Cassius and I are a mess. My injured calf slows me. Cassius must have suffered a concussion because he can't stop vomiting, even when Severo takes us into a maintenance tunnel. More than a half dozen times, Severo slows to deactivate trip wires and improvised traps in the darkness. By the time we emerge into a viewing garden, I have a clearer picture of Severo's stay on the dockyards. He must have escaped soon after his imprisonment and spent the last months waging a one-man guerrilla war against Apollonius. The tranquility of the garden is as shocking as the violence of the battle. Birds and purple spider sloths watch us from the garden's trees as Severo hands me his datapad. I dial in the fallback frequency to hail Ori. When she answers, Severo snatches the datapad away and strides up to the viewing deck window to peer into space as he talks.
Outside, Carthii destroyers and troop barges flow past, illuminated by the whitewash of artillery fire and the orange flames of oxygen burps from the station.
After a few minutes, Severo signals us to put on our helmets. He takes a thin wire from a pouch on his kit and ties one end around a railing and the other around his belt. Then he extends a hand to me. I extend mine to Cassius. He shakes his head. He knows what's coming. I insist, and he takes it. Hands locked, Severo guides us to the railing. Cassius and I lie down and wrap our legs around it. On his back, Severo lifts a strange weapon, points it at the glass, waits, then fires until the glass explodes outward. Pressure gushes out from the viewing deck. Flowers, birds, sloths, and trees fly past. The pressure the room contained is limited, and the flow of debris soon slows. As the cold of the vacuum begins to drain the heat from our bodies, we release our legs and let Severo push us toward space. Severo lets out the wire bit by bit until we dangle out the open window like a balloon on a string. The cold is total. My teeth chatter in my helmet. Explosions flash along the metal horizon. I lose feeling in my fingers and toes first. Then my legs and arms. A shadow falls over us. Severo nods to me. Drunk from the effects of the cold, I let go of his hand and receive a push. I float away from Severo. He goes the other way, back toward the windowless garden, where he releases the wire from his belt and pushes off to head our direction. He passes Cassius and me just as we float into a cargo bay filled with crates stamped with winged heels. The Archimedes. The bay doors of the Archimedes close behind us. Pressure gushes back into the hold, but not gravity. I'm too cold to do anything but shiver and float with my hand locked around Cassius's. I feel out of my body as Severo strips his helmet and pushes us through the ship. When he finds the medbay, he separates me from Cassius to secure me in one of the medical beds and drape a thermal blanket over me before taking off my helmet. With Cassius still floating in the air behind me, Severo shouts to Ori. I can't hear what. He looks back at me. His red eyes are shiny with tears in his greased dark face. He lowers his forehead to mine and only pulls back when gravity returns. Cassius plummets from the air to crunch into the floor. He curls into a shivering ball. Severo tosses a blanket at him and heads for the cockpit. I lie there, shaking, a smile on my face, as the engines of the Archimedes vibrate and the ship accelerates away from the battle.